You're listening to Popstar Conversations, taking you inside with your favorite musical artists.
This week, Randy and I will be speaking to the multi-talented Bruno Mars. Bruno, welcome to the show.
Bruno.
Thanks, man.
It's good to have you here. You were an artist, turned producer, turned artist. Why has success taken so long? You started when you were four.
Because it had to take this long for me to understand a little more about producing and writing songs. I kind of moved up to California, a little wet behind the ears and just a little green, thinking that, you know, it's like the movies where you get signed and, you know, hit records are falling into your lap. You're working with big producers and big songwriters, and then, you know, you make your album and you tour the world. But it's not like that. You know, you really have to create your own product. And also, you know, I wanted to be that. You can't just say I want to be an artist. You know, you have to do what your favorite artists do, and that's write your own songs and perform them.
How does it feel to be in the spotlight?
That was never the plan. You know, that was never like, you know, we never thought like, okay, well, this is how we break me is, you know, do these couple songs and then do your own song. It just kind of lined up like that, and the stars align, and Nothing on You and Billionaire and then Now Just the Way You Are.
Your songs have done extremely well. How does it feel when people call you a natural entertainer?
I don't know. Live is just, that's my upbringing. That's what I grew up doing. I love performing. I love playing with my band. I love picking up a guitar and jamming. And, you know, that's been my thing since I can remember. So when we, you know, when those mics turn on, we unleash the beast.
Well, you certainly do that. Bruno, I had seen some photos of you at the beginning. You started out your career as an Elvis impersonator. I gotta tell you, they looked really great.
Thanks, man.
Yes, that's right. You were a tourist attraction at the Sheraton Waikiki.
It was definitely a tourist attraction. You know, it was just a gimmick thing. You know, I was fascinated at Elvis at such a young age, and my father had the show going on, and I used to watch the show every night. And finally, he let me on stage. I've been begging him, you know, come on, put me on, coach, put me on. And finally, he let me go on stage to an Elvis song, and that's when, you know, that was it for me. I have to do it every night. So he would bring me up on stage every night until finally they worked the segment out for me, and my mother made me an Elvis outfit, and then they would introduce me as the world's youngest Elvis impersonator, and I would come out and sing these Elvis songs.
That must have been a lot of fun at that age. You were even in the movie Honeymoon in Vegas.
Yeah, right? It's crazy.
Besides Elvis, didn't you also add Michael Jackson and Prince to your impersonations?
Impersonation show. See, my whole thing is, man, is I kind of, I don't want to use the word hustle my way through life, but, you know, an impersonation show came down to Hawaii, and they said, well, we're looking for impersonators. Who could you impersonate? And I said, oh, I could do Michael Jackson. So I auditioned, and I sang Billie Jean, and I started dancing, and then I got the gig. You know, I've been a Michael Jackson fan forever. Started doing that during high school. I would go to school and then go impersonate Michael Jackson after school at like a Las Vegas-style show in Waikiki.
Some people make a hell of a career just doing that. Of course, you've obviously moved on.
Well, because, you know, you grow out of it. Well, for me anyway, it was just more something I just need to do music, even if it was to the extreme of wearing a costume. You know, at least I was doing music, and I wasn't getting into trouble. And that was just my whole thing. Was I just love music, man, and it's kind of all I've known.
Would you say that your collective experiences prepared you for the big stage?
Yeah, well, it's a little comfortable. You know, it gets you comfortable on stage, and it gets you in that practice. You know, I used to work 5 days a week as a kid at that age, and no one at, you know, my mom and dad were real strict about my schooling, and, you know, it was never something that they wanted me to do. It's just I needed to do it, and I wanted to do it. I would probably throw a fit if, you know, they would told me I couldn't. So it definitely, you know, it was just training, you know, for you. It's not easy to just jump up on a stage and not be nervous, and I think doing that my whole life has helped me.
This path and this work ethic, how did it contribute to your songwriting?
the simplicity of sometimes people just want to hear a song. Sometimes people just want to hear somebody sing a song and capture an emotion. So when I recorded songs like, you know, I have a song called Count On Me, and I feel like that's all I wanted to do was just play a guitar and sing a song. It doesn't have to be the most clever lyrics or poetic. It has to come from the heart.
You obviously know what you're doing. Tell me, why did you move to LA after high school?
Well, it was just, you know, I didn't want to be wearing an Elvis costume forever. Or a Michael Jackson costume forever. I wanted to take my music to the next level. And I felt like that was the next level, was to maybe even find myself and figure out some things. I needed a lot of learning to do. You can't just jump from doing Vegas shows to being a recording artist overnight. And that's what I did. I went to LA and basically learned how to write a song and compose a song and figure out on myself what kind of songs I want to write, what kind of songs I want to sing to people.
So all that led you to a deal at Motown. What happened when you got there?
Nothing. When I got signed to Motown, that was, I can't put the blame on anybody. I got signed at a very young age, and thankfully that helped me. You know, it was my frustration, because like I said, it's not like the movies where you think that you get signed and all of a sudden, you know, you're going to be recording hit songs. So it showed me, like, basically that's not what it is. And got me so frustrated, I said, you know what, I'm just going to do it myself. I'm tired of waiting on other people to write a song for me or to produce for me. When I can play instruments, I could produce, you know, if I wanted to. I mean, I can write a song. I can make words rhyme and sing, you know. So it was because of the frustration on my first deal, I learned so much. So by the time I got, so if I ever had another chance, I'd be ready. So that chance came, and I think I was a little more prepared.
That must have been a bit disheartening. But you didn't let it get you down. You got some of your friends and you created a band called the Smeezingtons. Tell us a bit about that.
That's right, the Smeezingtons. But our friends call us the Meezingtons, so you can call me the Meezington.
What does that mean?
It doesn't mean anything. No, you know what? We don't really take ourselves too seriously, and we're having so much fun doing music that, you know, every time we would write a song, we'd always say, oh, this is gonna be a smash. And then it turned into, this is gonna be a smeeze. And then it formed into, this is gonna be a Smeezington. It was just became kind of a joke in the studio. You know, every time we got together with people, they'd be like, oh, those guys think every song is a Smeezington. So we just started calling ourselves that. And we said, how funny would it be if one day these record labels would get on the phone and be like, I need the Smeezingtons. And it happened.
How do you choose the artists that you work with? And do you have any interesting people coming up?
Oh, you know what? If I had the time, I'd work with anybody. You know, that's the fun part about our job, is that we could, or at least take on the challenge of working with anybody, from, you know, CeeLo to Celine Dion. We're not trying to. We don't turn our shoulders to any artists that want to work. It's a challenge for us. We like to jump around from in different music. We're not snooty, like, oh, we only do this.
You wrote a song with Flo Rida, Bright Round. Seems to have a little bit of a sexual connotation.
Ah, that's right. Right Round. Sex has been pop culture since forever, I think. You know, big songs, not 1950s songs. Shake, rattle, and roll. Rock and roll means sex. That term has been around forever. When you've been talking about rock and roll, it means having sex and rocking and rolling. I think that's just something that comes with the bag of music, especially in pop music.
Would you say that your musical influences, they range from reggae to rock and obviously, you know, many others in between?
Yeah. For this album, I just sat down and wrote a bunch of songs that I just wrote songs. The way I felt that day. I didn't really overthink it or even come up with a theme, you know, for the album. I just wanted to write the best songs I could. You know, I want people to know that this is the beginning. This is just the first album, and I hope they enjoy it. I mean everything that I'm saying in these songs. I got such a long way to go.
Bruno, I think you've definitely arrived. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thanks again for joining us at Popstar Conversations. Make sure that you click the subscribe button below and hit the bell so that you'll be notified when our next exclusive interview with upcoming artists like Beyoncé, Cher, Miley Cyrus, and so many more are available. Thank you again for subscribing.
Thank you for listening to Popstar Conversations. Please join us again for another conversation with your favorite musical artist.